Pastor Karen is going to give a praise report at my request.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, how many know that the Word of God really works? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, you know, the Word says to study, to show yourself a workman that would be approved unto God, and you would not need to be ashamed. And so that word study doesn't mean just one time, open the Bible, put it down, and you're done, then has a lot of dust on the shelf. That study is progressive, always studying. And how many people have read the Word of God over and over and over, and then you get fresh new revelation from it? We dig deeper. So I have seen in my life how that digging deeper has really benefited me, because Healing School 1, 2, and 3, I didn't just go back one time. You know, I graduated from Healing School semester 1, then I went to semester 2, then I went to semester 3, and then I went back to semester 1, then I went back to semester 2, then I went back to semester 3, and I just keep going. Like the Ever-Ready Buddy, just keep going and going and going. And people are like, well, why are you doing that? Aren't you done? Well, you know, God's not done with me, so I want to find out more about Him. And the more I find about Him, the more I know I don't know as much as I should. So for me, it's perpetual, and it should be for everyone else. Because we need to be equipped in this life to become overcomers and super conquerors. Well, if we can't conquer a situation, how are we supposed to be super? I got to conquer it first. And then I got to learn, right? Once I conquer it, then I got to maintain it, not let the devil steal it from me so I could be super. Super conqueror. You could be a super conqueror. That's what I'm wanting to learn. So I passed up a really good opportunity to call 911 the other day. And the devil wanted me to. And so when I had had a situation like that before, the ambulance was called. They took me to the hospital in 1999. And as a result, there was knee surgery because of the fragments in the bone in the knees, because I was in a car accident and my knees went forward and hit that dashboard so hard that I couldn't move my knee. It was my right knee at the time. I was challenged. It was so much pain. The ambulance had to come. They had to get me out of the car. They had to cut my pant leg. It was all bleeding and everything, go for x-rays at the hospital. And result, a year of recuperation. A year. And you know how things are painful. Surgery isn't the most fun thing in the world, is it? Well, if you raise your hand, let me pray for you after church. Anyway, you know, the devil just always tries to do stuff to us. And I was in a rush the other day, and I was going to the bookshelf. Guess what I was going to get? My semester 2 book to do some homework. And I was in a rush, and I was going to grab it, and I grabbed it, you know, got it in my arm, and I turned around, and I didn't know that a box had fallen off of a table. And you know Psalm 91, lest you should dash your foot against the stone, the angels of God will lift you. Well, that includes boxes too. So, you know, I'm tripping forward, and I was teeter-tottering. It was like someone was trying to push me back. It was so weird. And I'm in my home office. I've got a glass desk here. I've got a glass work table here. And I was about to go in here and shatter that. And then I was about to go over here and shatter that. And then all of a sudden, I ended up flat on my face. And the angels of God reversed me. And I fell flat on my face and missed them all. We pray Psalm 91 twice a day. That's what we learned in ABC. And then after that, I fell on my face. My face was all bleeding. I could not move my legs. I fell on my knees so hard, it felt just like the pain of that car accident. And the first thing that came to mind was call 911. Call the ambulance. I could not get up off the floor. I was in so much pain. I'm laying there bleeding. And I said, Pastor Sarah says, oh, no! I'm not calling 911. I'm calling 119. 1 John 1, verse 9. I said, I repent of impatience. I went through the repentance, the renouncing, the breaking. Then I learned what we learned in semester 2. And if you want to learn that, come. And then I did what we learned in semester 3. If you want to learn that, come. And keep going. And so if I didn't have that foundation of year after year after year after year, we've been going now 3 years. Is it 3 years, James? At least 3 years, semester 1, 2, 3, semester. And we're just going to keep going until Jesus comes. And I'm telling you, it works. And so when I said, oh, no, and I started doing my spiritual warfare and praying, remember, a year of recuperation. Now, when that happened to me, see, I've been a minister for many, many years. God has had me develop the gifts of the Spirit. He's had me preach in many evangelistic healing crusades in many different countries. And I've seen people healed of blindness instantaneously, deafness instantaneously, HIV and AIDS instantaneously, with lab reports. But I needed surgery in 1999 for myself. I was a woman of faith, and I prayed myself through, and the surgery was successful. But a year of recuperation, I was reading my Bible and my healing scriptures. But it wasn't till I came to ABC, a year, I'm talking a long year, wearing a cast, mobile cast, couldn't drive, you had to go through, I had a handicap placard, okay? I had a battle. I did 1,000 affirmations of my knees have been healed by the stripes of Jesus, both knees now. I have been healed by the stripes of Jesus. I battled from 4:30. I had to wait till my husband, I thought he was going to be home in 3 hours to get me off the floor because I refused to call the ambulance. I wanted Dr. Jesus. It was a miracle that the Lord told my husband to leave work early and he was home in 5 minutes and found me on the floor. And as soon as I got up, I said, get me my counter. I'm doing my affirmations. And at 2 a.m, because my face was out to here, like a baseball size with bruising. People saw bruising yesterday. The bleeding finally stopped. Now you can hardly see. It's just a little gash. Both my knees were the size of 2 softballs, and I had a challenge walking. I limped in here. I didn't let anything stop me from coming to healing school. I limped in here. I was holding onto the walls and stuff, and I left running out of here. I left running out of here. And I prayed from 4:30 to 2:30 in the morning, everything I learned from semesters 1, 2, and 3. And at 2 a.m, I wish I had a video. My knees went back down to regular size. What I thought could have been, you know, shattered challenge of patellas. All the bruising left. My face, I hope it looks normal today. I think it looks normal today. And so, and then we were doing a lot of manual labor, and I could not get out of that because of our commitment of what God wanted me to do. And I said, oh, no, God, the devil's not going to stop me from my goal. And if you want to see that kind of success, in 9.5 hours, I got the full manifestation of my healing. Hallelujah! Woo!
Praise God. The word of God is true. If you work the word, it will work for you. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I would like everybody, please, to remain standing. Would you stand up again, please? The glory of God is here. And he wants to do a profound healing deep inside of you. You don't even know you need the healing. You don't even know it. You're not even aware of it. But once he does it, you will know. So lift up your hands and receive, expecting some deep inner healing inside your soul, inside your spirit, inside your emotions. something you don't even realize, but you will know it, and he will do it. We thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. It will be so profound. You will say, oh my God, that is it. That is what has been hindering me. That's what has been holding me back. I didn't know, I didn't know, I didn't know, I didn't know. But he knows, and he will take care of it for you.
The Lord said that of those participating in this service today, and one who's participating through her daughter, that your genital systems and GI systems have been healed and restored. From this day forward, there will be no more challenges in those areas. Believe it and receive it. Here in the satellite churches, your genital challenges and GI system challenges have been healed and restored. Amen? The Lord actually told me that during the worship, and I just accepted it. But Linda set a good example and spoke it out, so I thought I should speak it out also. Please be seated. There's healing in His glory. There's power in His glory. In fact, in John 15, verse 7, Jesus says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. I think those are two good parts in the definition of how to manifest God's glory in you and keep it and staying in that glory. If you abide in Him and His words abide in you, you will be abiding in His glory. And He goes on to say in John 15, verse 7, that you should ask whatever you will, and it should be done for you. God wants us to walk in His glory. God wants us to be yoked to Jesus, understanding that we are joined ears with Jesus. And as we walk the way He walks, as we talk the way He talks, as we say what He said, more and more, we move into being super conquerors. As Pastora Karen said earlier, how can you be a super conqueror if you're not conquering where you are today? So we need to conquer the challenges in our life today and move on to be super conquerors. Today is part 10 in a series. Part 10 in a series called 7 Books to Be a Super Conqueror. The 10 parts in this series, 9 were done last year, are based on these 7 books. And today we wrap it up with a summary. Now, these books are in different degrees of production. They all have taken some step into production, because the first step in the production is the teaching, is the creation of the outline from which we teach. And some are further along. We hope in the not too distant future to have all 7 books published. You'll each be given a set, because we want everybody who attends ABC and who continues to attend ABC to move up into a life of being a super conqueror. For you, we want you not just to overcome, not just to overcome, but we want you to take your place in the family of God, understand the specific calling God has in your life, and do your part to help prepare the way for the return of Jesus Christ. And we need to be super conquerors to achieve God's desire for you in these ending days. I am happy to announce that in New York, next month, I believe, church in New York will be starting to teach the ABC Healing School. They're starting up a healing school. ABC Healing School has been taught in the Philippines now for about 2 years, and well, maybe 3 years, and in Ghana, almost 2 years. So ABC Healing School is being taught, and more other churches and Bible colleges will start teaching or integrating many of the things that we have taught here. So today we're going to talk about being a super conqueror as a foundation for the ending days. We looked at the seven books, and the seven books have a role today. They have a purpose in our lives today. And the purpose of the seven books is to accelerate your growth and my growth in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 2 verse 2 says that we should desire, like newborn babes desire milk, we should desire the milk of the word. That every believer should desire the milk of God's word, and that we should move onwards into maturity as more and more we desire his word. Ephesians 4 verse 11, God tells us that he has given us the ministry offices, gifts to the body of Christ. And he's given these gifts of the apostles, the prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the perfecting of the saints. That's you and me. For the work of the ministry. Today, that major work is preparing the way for the return of Jesus. And for the building up of the body of Christ. Building them up to be super conquerors. Now, as we stay in the glory of God, as we learn more about God and Jesus Christ, more and more his grace is manifested in our lives. So today, a major part of the role of these seven books is to understand more about God and Jesus Christ, so that more and more we can release his grace in our lives. Basically, if we keep acting on what these books teach and acting on what we teach at ABC, and acting on what you learn from the Bible yourself, it will move us from the milk of the word to the meat of the word to the strong meat. Let me read to you from Hebrews 5 verse 12. For when the time came for you to be teachers, God is calling us all to teach others the word of the gospel, the good news. People can't believe until they hear. How beautiful on the mountain are the feet of them who bring good news. The good news of the gospel. That God is not angry at them. That Jesus has paved the way. That they can have every blessing they need in their lives. That they can move from being overcome by challenges to being overcomers of every challenge. From winning sometimes to winning frequently to winning all the times to conquering all the times to being super conquerors. But it says, for when the time came for you to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again. You still have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. And verse 14. So what I want to get to, verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. Even those who by reason of use, faith, action, plans. By reason of hearing and doing, by reason of acting on the word you've heard, have their sense exercised to discern both good and evil. When you can discern good and evil in the circumstances, in people, in the words you're hearing, in the words you're speaking, and in your heart, when you can discern that, you got it made. Well, you got to admit, assuming you want to choose the good. We're assuming you want to choose the good. God says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge is they don't discern between good and evil. You know, they go on a cruise. And they pick a cruise ship at random because they don't discern that this cruise ship is headed for disaster. Linda just took a vacation to Israel. Came back about 3 weeks ago. 2 weeks ago. No, is not the perfect time to have gone and come back to it 3 weeks ago rather than going this week? Who would want to go to a vacation in Israel this week? You may as well go to Gaza. One has to be led of the Spirit to discern good and evil. Because if we don't, we keep bringing challenges onto ourselves. We keep opening the door. So the seven books. We're going to go through the seven books really fast. Book one is entitled, Your Inheritance in Christ Jesus. Your joint heirs with Jesus. Everything that God owned, he gave to Jesus. Everything was made for him. And you own it jointly. It belongs to you. But you need to know, A, that you own it, and B, how to get your hands on it. On the news about a month ago, they've been looking for a man who won over $1 million in the California lottery, and they had like 7 days to go. He hadn't claimed it. If he didn't claim it within 7 days, he'd lose all that money. $1 million plus. Just recently. It belonged to him. But he's perishing for lack of knowledge. One of the heirs to the greatest fortune in Chicago. They were looking for him all over. He was a black sheep in the family. Hadn't talked to the family in years. And one by one, the family died off, and it all belonged to him. And they kept looking for him. The lawyers kept looking for him. They finally found him in an alley in Chicago, frozen to death. He was living on the street and froze to death. One of the richest men in Chicago. You must know what belongs to you, and you must know how to make it your own. Romans 8:17 says, you're joint heirs with Jesus. And Galatians 4, verse 7, you're an heir of God through Christ. Book number two, we need to live in heart faith, not in mental assent. Mental assent is a good starting place. You read the Bible, you believe the Bible is true, so you read something, you say, I agree with it. And you agree with it, A, because you understand it, or you agree with it because you believe the Bible is true. You agree with it. It's mental assent. But there's little or no spiritual power in mental assent. The spiritual power comes out of your heart. So how does mental assent become heart faith? You need to act on it. I remember over 3 decades ago. Boy, that sounds like a long time. But I actually was there. Over 3 decades ago, I prayed for a lady who had been sick for 5 years and God healed her. About a week later, she came back and she said, you know, my sister has just been released from the hospital. She went in there a few days ago for a surgery for cancer, and they opened her up totally and closed her back up totally and said, cancer is rampant throughout your body. There's nothing we can do. Go home. Do your will. Make your peace with God. You've got, I believe they said 2 weeks to live. Might have been 2 months. There have been quite a few of these. I believe this one was 2 weeks. 2 weeks to live. So she came to me and she said, can you pray for her? I said, yeah, I can pray for her. But here is what you need to do. You need to teach her that Jesus took that cancer and she needs to do affirmations. She says, I can't tell her that. And I said, why can you not tell her that? Because she's had a few days, she's made her peace, she's resigned to dying. I guess she'd been getting sick all along. She was resigned to dying. She said, I don't want to give her any false hope. Now, if you look at it from the biblical point of view, you can say, wow, what a terrible thing to say, a false hope in Jesus. But if you look at it from the natural, you can understand what she's saying. Emotionally, she's resigned. It's like you have a wound, and the wound is all healed, and then you rip it open. That's what she meant by false hope. She says, I can't do that. And I stopped and I prayed, and God said, that book that I told you to bring with you, that I actually went back home to get, I gave it her. A book by Kenneth Hagin called Real Faith. And I said, read this and come back to me. She came back the next day and said, I read the book, I understand, now I can do it. Okay? She went to the lady, because she's now putting her faith, her actions with what she believed. That's hard faith. And she told the lady. And the lady did it. And within 2 months, the doctor said, you are totally 100% healed. Hard faith. Okay? So I read that book well over 30 years ago. And it's a profound book. And I understand that people need to know how to live in heart faith. Mark 9:23 says, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. If you can believe, all things are possible. Meaning, if you can believe in your heart, is what the implication is. Not in your mind, in your heart. If you can believe in your heart, all things are possible. If you believe in your heart, how do you know? Your words and your actions confirm it. Mark 11:23 gives you the same concept in more details. Because Mark 9:23 doesn't mention your heart. It just says if you can believe. But Mark 11:23 says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that whatever he says shall come to pass, he'll have what he says. There we see the heart. If you can believe it in your heart, and if you can say it and not doubt in your heart, how do you know you're doubting in your heart? You say words that contradict it. You take actions that contradict it. What you think in your mind is not important. You can be standing in faith, believing in your heart for A to come to pass, and the devil can be bombarding your mind with thoughts of saying, A will never happen, it's impossible. And in your mind, you might even believe that. Because in your mind might say, but that's impossible. That would be a miracle. And then your heart says, yeah, that's what it is, a miracle. Right? So, doubting in your mind is just, you know, a lie of the enemy. As the great Kenneth Hagin once said, you cannot prevent birds flying over your head, but you can prevent them making a nest in your ear. So you can't prevent, that's not a true statement actually, but much of my life I believe it. You can prevent the thoughts coming to your mind, but you don't prevent it by faith. You prevent it by things we teach in semester 5. No, you cannot, well, at this point in time, I'm not preventing 100% of it, but I'm preventing maybe 99% of it. So you can have a big control of what comes to your mind, but you got to get to semester 5 before we can teach you. For the time being, yeah, the devil sends these fiery darts to your mind. See, for a demon to send a fiery dart to your mind, it means there must be a demon around you. Is that logical? Well, if there are no demons around you, he can't send a fiery dart to your mind. Why would there be no demons around you? Because you're walking in the glory of God. Once you get to semester 5, demons are afraid of you. You're not afraid of demons. Am I right? So you can control it tremendously. No, every once in a while, there'll be sacrifice play. You know, a demon comes in and he knows he's going to get whopped, but he sends his fiery dart hoping that you might actually pick it up. If you do, he wins. If you don't, his goose is cooked. Like Pastor Karen said yesterday, if you think I look bad, you should see the demons that attack me. Mm-hmm. Right? So, you let the birds make a nest in your ear when you speak the words, when you act on them. If you believe these thoughts in your mind enough to speak them, then you're letting the birds build a nest in your ear. Don't speak them. A thought unsaid is a thought that is dead. Book number 3. Now, book 1 tells you what belongs to you. Book 1 says, this all belongs to you. You have an inheritance in Christ Jesus. Book 2 says, here's how you get it. By walking in heart faith. And as you walk in heart faith, the devil will try to mislead you. So you need to know what your Bible covenants are. That's book 3, your Bible covenants. God defines his partnership with man via covenants sealed in blood. I'm actually going to take the time to read this to you. It's in many places, but I want to read one to you. to show you how serious God is about his covenant and how serious he is about using blood to seal it. Genesis 15, verses 8 through 18. Genesis 15, verses 8 through 18. Genesis 15, verse 8. And Abraham said, Lord God, how shall I know that I shall inherit all this? You might say, how do I know that I've inherited everything that Jesus has? You and I know it in many ways. One place is Hebrews 9:12. Hebrews 9:12 tells you that the covenant between you and God, that covenant is sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Your covenant with God, whereby you inherit everything that Jesus has, is sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Right here in Genesis 15, we're looking at the sealing with the blood of animals, not with the blood of the Lamb of God. Genesis 15, verse 9. God said to Abraham, take a heifer, that's a young cow, of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years, and a ram of 3 years, and a turtle dove and a young pigeon. And Abraham took them and divided them in the middle. Now, you know, before you can divide a cow into parts, you got to kill the cow first. Right? And laid each piece one against another. So he killed these animals and cut them into pieces and laid them out the way God wanted. But the birds he did not divide. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. You have got to protect your covenant with God. Jesus, with his blood, sealed forever God's side of the covenant. These things belong to you. But the devil, the princes of the air, will try to get you to the point where you give up on the promises, or where you don't know the promises, or where you don't believe them, or where you don't fight long enough. For example, healing. In the covenant, you are the healed of the Lord. You were healed 2,000 years ago. You are the healed of the Lord. But the fowls of the air will try to steal healing from you by putting sickness, disease, and infirmity on it. It's their sickness. It's their cancer. It's their infirmity. But they want you to say, my sickness, my cancer, my infirmity. But you fool them. You don't do it. You don't say it. What you do, you kick them out. You say what God says. You are the healed of the Lord. Verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And lo, a horror of great darkness fell upon him. And God said to Abraham, it's actually Abraham, because his name has not yet been changed to Abraham. God said to Abraham, know of a surety that your seed shall be a stranger in a strange land that's not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall be afflicted 400 years. That's in Egypt. They were there 430 years. And afterwards I will judge them, and they shall come out of that country with great wealth. See, when the devil steals from you, whether it be money, whether it be a job, whether it be your finances because you got to pay the medical bills, you tell the devil, you owe me 7 times what I paid. 7 times what I paid. Whatever the medical bill is, multiply it by 7. And you tell him, and every day you remind him, bring that money to me. Let's jump to verse 17. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between these pieces. The smoking furnace and the burning lamp are manifestations of the Holy Spirit. But we don't have time to go into that here. In that same day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, the river Euphrates, which, by the way, includes Gaza. So everything that is promised to you by God has been sealed by blood. And we need to understand what a blood covenant is. Just as in the old Western days, when the Native Americans here, the Indians, as we used to call them, they would cut their wrists and mingle their blood. And once you became a blood brother, that blood brother was more important to you than your own siblings. And whatever you had belongs to your blood brother and vice versa, including your life. And the penalty for breaking a blood covenant was death. So when you know that everything that Jesus has belongs to you, that you can bring that into your life through acting and speaking in hard faith, and that these are promised by covenant, seal, and blood, then you want to move where you are walking in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says that you are the temple of God. God lives in you. So God lives in you, and He desires you to change you from the inside out. First, your spirit is born again. Then He wants your heart to be full of heart faith, and your soul set free, and your body healed. It says, you prosper and you're in health even as your soul prospers. And your soul prospers as your mouth speaks the word of God. Your mouth teaches your soul. And your mouth speaks what's in your heart. And what's in your heart should be heart faith. The Spirit of God rests upon you so you can walk in the gifts of the Spirit. So you can minister health and healing to others and speak miracles around you and in your life. But your healing and your prosperity comes from the inside of you. That's God's major plan, is for it to come out of you. Book 5, your faith in the name of Jesus. How you release the power of God in you and the power of God upon you to walk in the promises of the blood covenant is by speaking the name of Jesus. All the promises of God, all the power of God is vested in the name of Jesus. And you and I have the power of attorney, the power of attorney to use His name. If you give me the power of attorney to use your name, anything you have, I can sell it, take it, do whatever I want with it. I can liquidate everything you have and take your money and go to Tahiti. You have the power of attorney with the name of Jesus. And Acts 3:16 says that the name of Jesus, through faith in the name of Jesus. So you must have faith in the name of Jesus. You must know what's vested in that name. You must know that that name is above every other name, and everything in the world has a name, and every name that's in this world must bow to the name of Jesus, including demons, devils, and evil spirits, sickness, disease, cancers. They must bow to the name of Jesus. They are superseded by the name of Jesus. When you speak in the name of Jesus, they must be obedient. But like everything else, it takes practice, because the demons are willing to sacrifice a few of their beings, their buddies. The bigger bosses are willing to sacrifice the ones below them. So you think it doesn't work. So when you say in the name of Jesus, demon, get out of my house. Demon, leave my son alone. And you bind him up and you cast him out. He's gone, but you don't see a change. Because they march in other demons to replace them. So you won't think it has worked. But you have to believe by faith that it's worked. Because God says whatever you say in the name of Jesus, it will come to pass. And eventually they get tired of sacrificing demons. You know, we had Mark and Astrid here on Sunday. And they were telling us about some of their ministry. And they mentioned that one of the children in one of the orphanages has prosthetic legs. Why is that? Because the Burmese army has a habit of marching children that they've captured across the minefields to clear the minefields. And he was one of them. He marched across the minefield, mine blew off his legs. They left him for dead. So Mark and Astrid got him. They patched him back with prosthetic legs, and I'm sure a lot of prayer. If people can do that to other people, do you see what I'm trying to tell you of what the demons do to sacrifice demons so you don't believe it's working? But you keep plugging away, and one day they'll let go and back off because they've paid enough of a price And they say, this one person isn't worth it. It's not because they care about losing a few demons. It's because there's a trade-off. While they're putting this much energy into you, other people, you're not getting an easier ride. So your faith in the name of Jesus releases the power to bring into your life all these blessings of God. Philippians 2 verse 9 says, the name of Jesus is above every other name. And Mark 16, 17 is one of the places that shows you you have the right to use it. These signs shall follow believers. Now, once you know what belongs to you, once you know it comes out with hard faith, where your words and your actions matches your belief in your heart, once you know your covenants in God and the power in the name of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit will never leave you nor forsake you, but is always in you and up in you if you want him up in you, then you're ready to be an ambassador of heaven. And book 6 says you're an ambassador of heaven. John 15, 19 says you're not of this world. There's several scriptures that said you're not of this world. We're in this world, but not of this world. We're not of a world that is obedient to the laws of science and the laws of medicine and the laws of nature. We're in a world that's obedient to the spiritual laws. Now, part of the spiritual laws are that you obey the physical laws up to the point where the physical laws contradict the spiritual laws. You follow what I'm saying? For example, the physical laws, the scientific laws, you work in conjunction with man's law up until the point where man's law contradicts the physical laws. For example, man's law says you cannot go faster than 65 miles an hour on this thing. That's the physical law. Speed limit is 65 miles an hour. Fine. Physical laws have no problem with 65 miles an hour. But if you press the gas pedal and the car zooms up to 70, the physical law is now superseding the legal law. Because science overrides man's law. Well, just as science overrides man's law, the spiritual law overrides the law of science. So laws of science says, in a desert, if there's no stream, water, or rain, or sources of water, you can't get water. Spiritual law says, God says to Moses, hit this rock, and out came enough water. They estimate 80 train carloads of water came out of one rock, let's say per day. So every day, 80 carloads of water came out of the rock as long as they needed it. That's the spiritual law overriding the physical. Doctor says, this disease is incurable. Spiritual law says, hey, not only is it curable, you have already been healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen? So as an ambassador, you live according to the laws of man, as long as they don't contradict the physical laws, and you live by the physical laws as long as they don't contradict the spiritual laws. Anytime they start to contradict the spiritual laws, you go with the spiritual laws because you're an ambassador and you have diplomatic immunity, and the physical laws and the laws of man don't affect you. They try to put Brother Yun in maximum security prison. That's the law of man. What happened? He walked down 6 flights of stairs with a broken leg, which a few hours before he couldn't move. Walked through steel doors on every flight of stairs, walked out of the maximum security building, walked across the maximum security compound, went out and got away. Spiritual laws superseding physical laws. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 20. We are ambassadors for Christ. Verse 21. For he made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Jesus took our sins so we could be ambassadors of him. Took our sins so we could be the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Took our sins so that we can supersede everything in the physical and everything in the legal. In the book of Revelation 11, chapter 11, the people running by the laws of the land at that time will try to stop two prophets who are living by spiritual laws. And the Bible says, if they try to stop them, fire will come out of their mouth, the mouth of the prophets, and destroy those who try to stop them. That's an example of the spiritual law superseding both the physical law, because normally, for most people, fire doesn't come out of their mouth, and also the law of the land, which they're trying to stop them. We are super conquerors. Revelation 1 verse 6 says, not only are you an ambassador, but you've been made a king and a priest. So once you have all this knowledge, this understanding, and you're an ambassador of heaven, you're an ambassador of heaven here to create your world with your words. You speak out words that create your own world. If you want a world of strife and confusion, then you speak words that are backbiting, words that are negative, critical words, ungodly words, and you can create all that kind of strife. If you want a world of failure, you speak failure. You speak death. You speak pessimistic positions. But if you want a world that's godly, you speak God's word. Romans 4:17 says, call things that be not as though they are. You call the things from the spiritual world in which you live, pull them down from the spiritual world to change the physical world and to change the legal world. 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, don't look at the things you see. Look at the unseen things. Because the unseen things, the spiritual world of which you are an ambassador, will change the things you see. So those are the seven books. Now the role of the seven books in these ending days. 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Let me read to you. In fact, if you have not read that before or not recently, you want to turn to 1 Thessalonians 4:13. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. In 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that is, those who have died in Christ. The dead in Christ are often referred to as asleep, because the eternal life belongs to them. That you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. God doesn't want us to sorrow, even others have no hope. For all hope is in Christ Jesus, and we know this time here is very short. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. God will bring them with him. When? When Jesus returns. For this we see unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain, key words are alive and remain, every promise of God belongs to you and me. But every promise of God has conditions. If you meet the conditions, you get the promises. Here are the conditions. If you are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep from coming with the Lord to join you. I'm just sticking that part in there from the verse above. Shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain, there are the conditions again. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. So, in these ending days, a major goal is to be alive and remain. To remain true to the gospel of Jesus Christ requires that you be able to identify the heresies as taught by false prophets and by the Antichrist, and also by people who are well-intended, but who are making mistakes. There are a lot of people out who are teaching a lot of things that are well-intended, but are wrong. For Jesus said in Matthew 24, starting in verse 24, that there will be false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great sign and great wonder. So much great sign and wonder that they could even confuse not just the elect, but the very elect. So understand, we need to know the gospel well in order to know who's teaching the truth. Just today, for example, if you turn on the television today, you'll probably hear a lot of scripture that's being taught incorrectly. Okay? And unless you know the Word of God, you don't realize that these successful people are teaching things that are wrong. The denominational churches as a whole are falling away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because, in general, the problem is that they are full of compassion and love, and they want to love and help everybody. Even when these people are involved in doing things that are unscriptural. And that puts them in a very, very delicate position. Their compassion and their love, their desire to help people, their desire to believe that we are all brothers and sisters, puts them in a really difficult position. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. But if we're not in Christ, we're not brothers and sisters. We have different fathers. So these seven books are intended to help you understand, to some extent, false teaching. At least false teaching that affects the foundational scriptures and the foundational power to walk as a super conqueror. To help avoid deception, the seven books do provide you a solid scriptural foundation. And 2 Timothy 3:16 tells us that we need a good foundation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So that deals with the remaining part, the alive part. To be alive, it's not only important to know what false teaching is, it's important to be a super conqueror. So to be alive, you must know how to walk in power and authority to overcome all challenges. That's how Pastor Karen actually kicked off the service. 1 John 5:4, starting in verse 3, 1 John 5. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. We're born of God. We should be overcoming the world. We should be overcoming every challenge. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Your faith and my faith should overcome every challenge of life. Verse 5, who is he that overcomes the world but he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If you believe Jesus is the Son of God, you should overcome every challenge in your life. So you must be an overcomer. You must know how to live free of sickness and diseases. 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we being dead to sin shall live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. Notice, the emphasis is not by whose stripes we're healed. The emphasis is on living for Jesus, living for righteousness. That when we live for Jesus, that when we live for righteousness, the healing comes as a fringe benefit. You must know how to use the scriptures to have all your needs met. And your needs are not met through a job. Whether or not you have a job working for a company, you have a job working for God. You spend your days working for God, and a job through a company may come if God wants you to have it. But the money will come anyway. When you finish your day's work, you don't look to a company to pay you. You look to God, who may use a company. What if the company goes bankrupt? What happens if you're in a situation like Katerina in New Orleans, when there were no food available, no food for days? You know, Nora Lamb was in prison for 14 months, and much of the time they weren't feeding her. But some of the time they weren't feeding her. They wanted her to die, and they couldn't shoot her. The execution firing squad couldn't kill her. So they put her in a jail and tried to forget her. And every day, rats, clean rats, brought her food every day, rice and grain, and she lived on the food the rats brought her. No, that may not be something from, you know, the finest restaurant. But it could be. It might have fallen off the table. But the point, if God is providing it, it's the best food and the most helpful. Once you get over the ratosis in your mind, okay? So God is your provider. Your job is to work for Him. Whether you work for Him looking for a job, whether you work for Him volunteering for church, whether you work for Him just doing what He tells you, you are working for God, and you have a right to say, God, I'm working for you. I spent my day or my 8 hours today working for you. I'm trying to do everything you say. I'm looking to you to provide all of my needs. You must know how to use the scriptures to overcome all evil. Psalm 91 verse 10. No evil shall befall you. No evil shall befall you. But what's your part? Because you have made the Lord, verse 9, you have made the Lord who is your refuge, even the Most High. He's your refuge. When things go bad, you don't run to 911. You don't run to your next door neighbor. You run to your refuge, who is Jesus Christ. You made the Lord who is your refuge, even the Most High, your habitation. You dwell in Him. We started off by saying, there's power in His glory, and His glory is when you're living in Him, when you're abiding in Him, and His words abide in you. When you dwell in that glory, you're dwelling in Him. You've made the Most High your habitation, your dwelling place. There shall no evil befall you, nor any plague come near your dwelling place. You must know how to use the scriptures so nothing of the enemy can hurt you. What a wonderful promise. Luke 10:19. Jesus said, He's given you power over all the enemy has, and nothing of the enemy shall hurt you. Luke 10:19. What you're rejoicing should be that you're saved and you're in the family of God. That's your primary rejoicing. The fact that nothing can hurt you is only a fringe benefit, a side benefit. So finally, we live as super conquerors. You and I can achieve all these blessings and much more by continuing in the scriptural truths, which are revealed or clarified to you through studying these seven books, and by acting on the revelations which you gain from the study. Jesus said, if you continue in my word, John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciple, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. If you continue in his word, then you are dwelling in him, and his words are dwelling in you. The glory of God is on you. There's power in the glory, and you get set free from every challenge. Amen. That's it. That's it. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.